impossible for me to hear this song and not say hello to my buddy Jeff. How you doing, Jeff? Good to have you with us. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. We've been talking, well, I've been talking apparently with very little interest from you in what 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, 50-somethings are looking for out of life. Marriage, being single, being in a committed relationship but under different roofs, being in a committed relationship but living together, because sometimes I've had the thought that I was like the only one who actually wanted to get married, and I don't need a nurse, and I sure as hell don't need a purse. Let's go to nurse I may need, but if it comes to that, just bring me up to Three Sisters Island and have me swim to Canada. Joe in Cheektowaga, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, now it's going great. Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think this topic is a complete banger. I don't know. I think it's just because the audience is just old, honestly. Like, I don't know if it's young people. Like, they're just, maybe they're afraid to call in because they're either they're bad at public speaking or something, or they're nervous, or maybe they just are on TikTok or something. I don't know.
Well, but tell me something. You know what? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 32.
Okay, what do I do to get more young people to call the show instead of people calling in and always saying, I'm 82, I'm 75, what do I do?
Well, I don't know, because like you have good substance on your show, and I think a lot of young people are like anti-good substance material. Like they just want like TikTok videos or like stupid memes and stuff like that. That's how they all communicate these days for the most part.
Well, I mean, I don't wish to generalize. I apologize. We have that cell phone overlap thing, so I'll speak and then I'll shut the hell up because I asked you to call and here I am taking your time. But I thought that I literally thought the topic today was going to attract a younger demo because the younger demo seems to be very much against getting married. But please go ahead.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, you've done numerous shows on this and whatnot. But the interesting thing is, like, after I rifle off my beliefs and standards, people will be getting their Facebook fingers fired up to talk smack on the internet or, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, they'll complain off the air, but they won't call in and push back or give their opinion on anything.
Wish they would. I wish they would. Well, you know, your list, I mean, look, I mean, number one, are you a married man?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
Do you wish to be a married man?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that's the only way forward for any sort of cohesive civilization. There has to be families.
Even if procreation is not in the plans for the marriage, perhaps one person is sterile.
That would have to be, you know, talked about beforehand, because I do want children for sure.
Okay. All right. So that makes two of us who actually want to get married.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, yeah, that would be the goal to a woman. I mean, for me.
Well, I'm on the fence about that right now, to be honest with you. But let's forget about that for a moment. What are you finding out there as a 30-something young man? And I know you've got strong opinions, which I enjoy very much, I might add. What are you finding out there, and are you following Tom's rule? Tom's rule is, I don't care what you look like. It doesn't matter. Personality goes a long way, and not being a pervert within the first 5 minutes goes a long way. Being able to chew with your mouth closed goes a long way, and presenting yourself as a desirable man goes a long way. I don't care if you're 5'6" or 6'2". It doesn't matter.
Actually, I mean, I kind of agree, but I also think mainly disagree with all this advice. I think this kind of advice is coming from yourself, who's a little bit older. And from what I've seen and from what's going on with younger men specifically, women do want men who are tall. They do want men who are Josh Allen. They do want men who are genetic Adonises, because what's really been happening here, and if I could just cook for a second about this, is that we live in like a dating app hookup culture these days. And what's happening is that young women specifically are being bombarded with likes and validation and compliments from the 10 apps that they're on. They're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok, they're on Snapchat, they're on Tinder, they're on Hinge, they're on Bumble, and they're getting bombarded with all men saying that they're all beautiful and gorgeous, even if they're average or below average. So what's happening is that the ego and the inflated, I mean, their ego is being inflated along with their perceived sexual marketplace value. So a lot of these women, even if they're average or below average, they really in their mind are starting to believe, hey, I deserve Josh Allen. Hey, I deserve a movie star. And what's happening is all these women are going for top tier men, and those top tier guys, they have the pick of the litter. So these women are going for these guys, and these guys are just using and abusing them. And then what happens is the women become damaged and upset and pissed off because of the trauma, and then they label all men as trash. But what really, a third of men in the country aren't even sexually active right now. And at least half of men, 17 to 20, are virgins these days. Young men are not having.
Is that a scientific fact? I mean, you know, and you know, at least that would mean a third of the men in America had best clean their computer keyboards regularly. But continue, please.
Oh, yeah, but that's just what I think is a big problem with this is that a lot of average to below average women think that they're, you know, they have this inflated perceived sexual marketplace value, and they're being spun by all these attractive guys, and they're just being used and abused. And like you kind of brought it up earlier, that a lot of women are attracted to narcissistic, sociopathic men. And you brought it up before with that one Facebook page that was about the women who were dating the same guys and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, what is it about that particular man, that archetype of a man, where all these women are clamoring over him? You know, they say they want a nice guy who's a gentleman who opens doors and gives them flowers and takes them out and whatever. But they don't go for that. They go for the guys who are narcissistic sociopaths, who are covered in tattoos, who only care about their vehicles or their cars. They sell dope and they're abusive and they do drugs and everything else. And then they get traumatized by these men, and then it ruins them almost forever. That's kind of like a depreciation that's taking place here, where
Go ahead. I was just breathing. I do that every now and again. My gills.
But that's what I was just saying, though, is that a lot of younger women go for these narcissistic types, even if they say they want guys who open doors and give them flowers. That's not what their actions are saying. This is why it's very tricky for a lot of young guys. You have to go for what a woman's actions rather than what she says, because I mean, we all know you've been married or, yeah, you know, you've had girlfriends. You say, hey, babe, I'm going to get something to eat. You want anything? They're like, no. And then you come back and they want something of yours. They're like, you know, they're digging in your French fries or something. Well, it's like, I thought you said you didn't want anything. And everything is like a giant crap test where it's like we're always on like a there's always a test going on.
Okay, let me just interrupt here, because you said at the beginning of the phone call, you used words to the effect of you did not agree with some of the advice that I have been giving. Now, would you agree that I've got twice as much experience as you do in life, and probably a lot more experience than you do in dealing with women?
Yeah, I mean, but also
would you agree with those two statements? Would you agree with those two statements? So the advice that I'm passing on is advice that I have learned from observational learning as well as experiential learning. And that's why, look, most men are not Josh Allen. Most men are not Adonises. Most men, it's a bell curve. Most men are somewhere in the bell. Okay? So you can't let your perceived shortcomings impact your hunting abilities. And again, would you rather go home alone having had to talked with no one of the opposite sex, or without seeming like a cad, would you rather, go through the room, say, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Because you never know. Never count yourself out.
Sure.
Dude,
yeah. If you were,
this is the voice of experience, man.
Oh, I definitely agree that you've had experience, but I think there's a generational gap here or two where it's just not the same these days. It really isn't. And yeah, I mean, if I were looking for a wife, I'd be going to a church. I wouldn't be going to a bar. And when I'm ready for that to happen, that's where I'm going to go, or to another country, because there's a whole other faction of men called passport bros where they're going to South America or Eastern Europe or Asia to find a more traditional wife because they're all feminist here. And I brought that point up before where 70% of single women vote Democrat. So all these guys who are looking for a woman, they're going for less than 30% of the population. And then you have to kind of sift through that to see, you know, who you're compatible with and whatnot. And it's just, it's really looking not too great. That's why guys are jumping ship.
Okay, hold on. We got to continue this because we should bring you on as like a regular social commentator on these things. I love going back and forth with you because it's a hoot. I will tell you, though, that, and again, this is from experience, just because a woman goes to church every Sunday does not mean that she is the Virgin Mary. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Actually, my experience, quite the opposite. Hold on. No, Christians aren't perfect. They're forgiven. And I'm sure it's the same thing with Jewish ladies and Muslim ladies. And the whole foreign bride thing I find fascinating because all I can think of is, oh, they want into the United States. Then they're going to bring their father, their mother, their brothers. And next thing you know, you're running a United Nations out of your living room. Oh, my God. The darndest thing is I'm driving this Kia Telluride right now. And it's the coolest thing. It's like a fighter jet because it projects the speed you're doing and the speed limit right on the windshield. It's so bizarre. Sorry, I've got a 2017 automobile. So this new technology is just amazing. All right, let's get back to our caller, Joe in Cheektowaga. Now, Joe, you mentioned guys going overseas, and I'm going to use the word mail order bride. And here's the problem, okay? Beautiful Ukrainian women, beautiful Russian women want you. Do they really want you, or do they just want to come to the United States as your wife? What do you think?
Well, I guess you would just have to go and find out on your own. But a lot of guys are traveling there. They're not ordering over the internet. They're going actually traveling to like Colombia, South America, to try and find a traditional wife because there's a lot of beautiful women down there that actually are traditional and want a masculine man and don't, you know, paint their hair pink and do whatever, all this other crazy stuff. But even if they do want to just get into the country, I mean, that's just a risk you're going to have to take. I mean, every sort of thing is a risk, but I think you're better off trying to find a woman who was raised traditionally from another country than dealing with a feminist here. I mean, it's a coin flip whether or not she's going to take half your stuff or try to anyway, with no fault divorce and everything else. So
prenup. Sorry, if I said that enough today.
Do they always work though? I mean, I've heard stories where prenups could be evaded. Or that, you know, lawyers can find a way around and guys still end up.
That's why you have your prenup done by a qualified lawyer who specializes in prenup. Don't go to the personal injury lawyer for a prenuptial agreement because law is extremely specialized. You should stick with somebody who does a lot of matrimonial work because they have to stay, you know, let the cobbler stick to his awl, the old expression is. But, you know, as far as I've never been to Colombia, although in my time I'm sure I've supported the agricultural community of Colombia, but the different life. But the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life, and this again, beauty is subjective, all right? What I think is beautiful, you might not think is beautiful, all right? And that's what make it a world go round. But Venezuela, the thing that blew me away about going to Venezuela in 87, 88 was every single woman was what I consider to be drop-dead gorgeous. I was like, are you kidding me? It was like being in paradise, baby. Didn't speak
Spanish.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why so many men are that's why so many men are jumping ship and going there because, you know, you see a beautiful woman rocking around in your daily life. Like, if you see, like down there, they're a dime a dozen, you know, or in some of these countries, they're all in shape. You know, they take care of themselves. They really put on the whole show. Here, the average woman weighs 170 pounds in America. They weigh 20 pounds heavier than any other demographic in the world.
Well, I mean, let's face it. America as a whole is an out-of-shape country, and I'm certainly not one. I still have to take off 20 pounds. I'm still waiting for it to leave me. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate hearing from you very much. Always a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll talk soon because you're a man of many opinions. And 32 years old. Can you just say one more time, I'm 32 years old, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm 32 years old, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good weekend.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I need to hear that because it's like every week I get calls. I'm 75. And then the new one is I'm about your age. Like, oh, anyway. But if you're younger, I always want to hear your age. If you're older, some things are probably best kept to themselves. I'm just saying. Of course, some of you are 90 and you sound like you're in your 40s. So who am I to say? All right. 26 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Do you guys want to talk about student loans coming up? Because I would, because I think that, and it's not going to be about student loan forgiveness per se, but I want to do a show on how student loans are messing up your life or your children's life. And it is not unusual for people who go through a professional program to graduate with loans of well over $100,000. Seriously, $100,000. You're starting your life out. How in the hell are you ever going to buy a house? How are you ever going to buy a new car? Even buying a refrigerator. If you've got to make a payment of $1,500 every month, that's a big nut you got to meet every month, no? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly with you on a Friday. And in an hour from now, we're going to talk to somebody who's going to tell us all about this fire truck auction they're doing. You could actually end up buying a fire truck. I don't know what the rules are vehicle and traffic-wise on the license you're needed to drive the fire truck, but maybe we'll get into that. On News Radio 930, WBEN. I've always wanted to drive a Mr. Softy truck just so the song stays in my mind the entire day. I always wondered if the Mr. Softy guys went home with do 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 do. I've always wondered if how many of them went crazy. On News Radio 930, WBEN. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, so I guess we'll continue talking about what people are looking for romantically in 2023. Still got some calls coming in on that. I mean, it's not blowing out the phones, but on the other hand, the calls have been really, really good. And then I want to switch over to the whole student loan thing. So let's go to Steve in Amherst. Steve, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Tom, I married a Chinese woman in 2006. She entered America in 1996. And when I married her, she was going to be deported on the expiration of her green card. So we went through this process, and it's all I-forms, and you go from one to the next. And we went through an I-form and got to the end, and then they told us we had to go back to the beginning and go through another 5-6 I-forms 4 or 5 times. In order to make my wife, I want to let people beware, in order to make my wife legal in this country, I spent $120,000 on lawyers. And then after that, I got so tired of it, I filed a lawsuit against the federal government because the lawyers here, I don't care what part of the country, and they're all involved in it. And whatever the government workers, they're just civil servants. They whatever they say goes, and you just pay the money until you find. Until me, like in my case, it wasn't easy. And I'm telling you, if anybody marries a woman, if she gets into this country while she's waiting on that green card, if she does anything that breaks any law, she will be deported.
So she'd have been better off sneaking in across the Rio Grande and saying she was an asylum seeker.
Well, that's the problem. We, you know, I hope I'm not off topic with you. I'm really sincere about it.
No, because
but
the subject of
here, you're talking apples and oranges. You're talking of people who want to walk through the legal. If you want into this country, you have to make an agreement to get a green card. That you follow the laws. You get in trouble, while you have a green card or anything else, come renewal time, they won't renew that green card for you if you're a consistent felon or a troublemaker.
Right. So, I mean, your situation sounds a little bit different in that when you met your wife, who was from China, are we talking communist China or Taiwan?
Communist China.
Communist China. Okay. But she was already in the United States when you guys met, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you didn't go to China and bring back a bride like Lee Oswald went to Minsk and came back with a Russian woman in the height of the Cold War.
I would never do that, and I wouldn't suggest that because you're if you do that, now you're going to be with someone you haven't had a chance to court.
If you don't court,
in my opinion, you don't court a woman for at least a year or two. You're not knowing what you're getting when you sign for that package.
I think a lot of it also, though, depends on the age you are, because you get to a certain age and you know the boxes that have to be checked off. And if the boxes check off, you know, I know people who saw each other for 3 months and ended up getting married. They're still married. I know a guy, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, met his wife 1 month. Next month, they're married. And last I knew, they were still together. So that usually, I mean, look, obviously, the more you know somebody, the better off things are going to be. And it sounds like you went through a hell of a lot of money and a hell of a lot of expense for this woman. You've been married now how long?
17 years and a half.
And,
it's all good. I like it. You just got to beware. You know, again, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you need to beware. And if you're going to do that, I wouldn't tell a young guy to do it. If you're older, and believe you me, I was older, and I was more desperate. Being really sincere here, too, honestly. But it worked out really well for me. But I would, you know, tell men to be careful because you don't know what you're getting once you get over there.
And by the way, too, something else, and this actually comes to me by way of an attorney. One of the things that people need to think about before they get married, while everybody is still sentient and not turning into a potato or a turnip, is the healthcare proxy and the power of attorney. Those are very important documents to have in place while you both are in a position to be able to know what you are doing, because those documents, if you have to take them through the legal system, you're going to run into like $10,000 to $20,000 in legal bills. So if you do it when everybody is of sound mind, you're going to save money. Problem is, I'm still waiting to become of sound mind, sir, and don't know if that's
okay,
going to happen.
Tom. Listen, there's one last thing, too. When you marry a woman from another country, there are laws regulating that person, whether they can own real estate. You know, if they have a green card, still hold citizenship in another country, they're not allowed to own real estate. There's a lot of things that a man should be aware of, and I just wanted to call up and make sure that before they get married, that they understand, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's.
Well, I mean, okay, the whole idea, and I know people organize trips. Okay, guys, we're taking a flight to Thailand, and you can meet your wife and bring her back. We do all the paperwork. Like, really? I mean, I'm sorry. How does that even work? You don't know somebody. The language barrier, I mean, Thai is not exactly an easy language to learn. Unless you go to the Monterey Language School, and they'll teach any language in about a year. It's one of the most arduous programs the military and intelligence people have. But you got to be aware of cultural differences. I mean, you and your wife, any cultural differences that have impeded the marriage, this blessed union?
No, you know, because her English is a little more rudimentary. But we can communicate. I would definitely tell a guy, don't get married if you can't speak her language. And another thing, if you really want to get married and you want a good woman that way, you go to I'm not trying to pick a religion, but I'm Catholic. You go to a Catholic priest and you go to the church, and you can find a good church-going woman that way. Otherwise, I'd stay away from the rest of it.
When you say rudimentary English, that kind of raises some alarm bells with me, because if it's only rudimentary English, how can you have substantive conversations?
It's her English is decent. If I mention a word, she tells me she doesn't understand it, then if you're going to be married like that, you need to take the time and explain a little more detail what you mean. You can communicate it right across the board as long as they're decent with their English and they can and they write and sign checks and whatever they got to do to take care of whatever they got to do. If they have that skill and those skills, things are pretty good.
What does she speak, Mandarin, Cantonese?
She's Mandarin and Cantonese, and then she's English, so she's bilingual. But she, you know, sometimes it's a little tough with English, but I get it across to her, and she gets it across to me.
How much Chinese have you picked up?
Words, scholars, we do everything if we have to.
How much Chinese have you picked up?
Well, Ani, I love you, and Shay, I love you, and thank you. That's it. That's all I need to know.
Dude, I mean, this isn't going to happen, but if I were to marry a woman who spoke a different language, she's teaching me her language. That's like Babel come to life, you know?
I love it. Tom, I love it like that. I'm with her and her. I'm being honest, going on here, I'm sorry. But, you know, when she's talking with this girl, with her girlfriends or some, and I'm with them, and I don't know what they're saying. They're all laughing and giggling. We have a great time, I'm telling you. 17 years of it, and I love it.
See, you know what? Call me paranoid, but if I'm in a room and a bunch of people are speaking a language I don't understand and everybody starts giggling, my first thought is, did she just tell them about my lack of girth? I mean, I'm a guy. I think about things like that.
At 67, I'm too old to have to worry about anything.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it.
I don't spend my time.
There are people in nursing homes far off. All right, my friend.
I'm never going to spend worrying about little things, and I just enjoy life, and I really mean that.
Well, as long as everything's functioning, as long as the wedding tackle is in order, good for you, sir.
Well, I go to the doctors for that.
Okay.
Go to Western New York Urology and get your blood testosterone checked.
Thank you very much. I'm on that. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, if they drew any more blood from me, I would have absolutely none left. And my testosterone is just fine. Thank you. You know why? Because I supplement it by giving myself injections. Yes. It's all legal. It's a controlled substance, but and the needles. You guys would be so proud of me if you knew what I had to do twice a week. Incredible. The worst thing is about the testosterone shots is if you're on blood thinners, you take out the syringe and it looks like the backseat of JFK's limo. So you gotta have preparations in place to make sure it doesn't go all over the bathroom floor like it did the first time I did that. And you gotta be careful with that. But yes, everything is properly functioning. And the kidney stone update, it was active last night. Oh, was it moving around, but it's still in there, and it's going to be taken out with a fish hook. That's what I call it anyway. So, oh, my goodness. At least I was thinking this way they're going to know what caused it. They're going to know the chemical constituents of the kidney stone so they can tell me what I need to avoid eating. Fortunately, alcohol is not a risk factor for kidney stones. So there's that. I mean, there's that going for me. By the way, on a very personal note, maybe I share too much information with you, but I am going through a personal crisis right now. I drink a lot of vitamin water. Zero calorie vitamin water. Earlier today, I had my last gulp of the last available bottle. So now I'm awaiting feverishly, with great anticipation, my new delivery of vitamin water, zero sugar. The way I drink it, let's put it this way. At least I'm not underhydrated. I'll tell you that much. It's my favorite beverage. I really don't drink pop, except every now and again. As you know, I treat myself to Coke from Mexico. No, I can't touch that. But the soda, Coca-Cola from Mexico made from cane sugar in a bottle. It's Coca-Cola the way it used to be, and it's a fine little treat once in a while. I'll tell you something. You're talking about menopause. And you know what? There might be, geez, you know what? I might actually throw that out. I might do a couple of topics leading into the next hour. Do you believe in menopause? Because I really think it's a thing. And I'm not trying to, believe me, I love women, I respect women tremendously, and I'm very, very sensitive to women who are going through menopausal issues, perimenopausal issues, etc. And I know it's a bitch. I mean, basically, my mom, back in the 1970s, said something I wrote down because I thought it was so funny. She said, you know, Tom, life is just one big hot flash. And now that I'm of that age where I hang out with a lot of women who are in that predicament. Oh, my goodness, I love you, ladies, what you go through hormonally, chemically, and everything else. But I think men also have menopause. Seriously, how many guys out there, there's no reason, but suddenly you get a hot flash? And it happened to me last night. I was a little bit agitated about something somebody had said. But that really, I don't think, was the catalyst. I had to take my coat off because it was getting totally sweaty. It just got back from the dry cleaners, and I literally had to cool off because I could not stop perspiring, and it was chilly out last night. But anyway, I don't know if other guys do that or I'm just in touch with my female side, and there'll be a surgery I'll be announcing soon. I'm not sure. If you hear that I'm going to Thailand, I'll give you three guesses. But anyway, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. So coming up in the next hour, I want to talk about student loan debt. All right, we'll put the relationship stuff on hold. I'm gonna call that a ground. I'm gonna say that I grounded out at first base, but I'm gonna say I threw five interceptions in the first half today. However, coming up, I want to talk about student loans and how they're messing up your kids, how they're messing up your family's exchequer, a fancy word for treasury of the family. These kids graduating with these student loans, I cannot imagine the kind of anxiety through which they are living. It's hell. And those of us who went to college when it was a reasonably priced thing, we don't appreciate the amount of stress that our children are going through, or your grandkids are going through, or if you are one of the debtors that you're going through. And I'd love to talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll put the relationship stuff aside and talk about student loan issues. And it's not about forgiving student loans, okay? That's like more of a political show. And I don't want it to be a political show. I want it to be a real world show, because I hear a lot of people when I go out talking about, yeah, my kid's got $70,000 in student loans. And I think to myself, wow, they got off easy. That's pretty sad.